Recorded live.
God bless you all today. I would like to welcome you all to another talk show segment of Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I'm your host, Apostle Lionel Blair. Today, you know, we got another interesting segment. Because I planned on doing it one way today, and you know, like always, the Lord disrupts, you know, stuff that I have going on. That's why I learned how to lean and depend on Him at all times. Amen. And trust Him for His guidance and everything. But you know how sometimes you want to see it go a certain way, or, you know, change up the pattern how you do stuff. Amen. And the Lord really changed it up today. Amen. But today we're going to be talking about gifts and callings. And before I go any further, I'm just going to say a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everything that you've done, Father, since we've been having this talk show going, Father. The signs and the wonders, the deliverance and the healings, Father, that have taken place over the airwaves, Father. I'm truly grateful, and I thank you, Father. I love you so much. I thank you that you're faithful, Father. Even when we are faithless at times, Father, you still remain faithful, God. You are a faithful God, a loving God, and I thank you for it, Lord. And Lord, Father, let this word go forth with simplicity and understanding. Father, I bind the hand of the enemy in advance in Jesus' name that would try to distract or block your people from hearing the word of the Lord. So, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that even as this word goes forth, Father, I thank you, Father, that it's going to break yokes, Father, and set folks free in Jesus' name. Amen. Cover the airwaves, God. Today we're going to be talking about gifts and callings. And even yesterday, I knew I was going to do a talk show today, but you know, even yesterday, as I was meditating and just thinking upon the Lord brought me back in remembrance to that scripture where it says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Amen. Then he began to deal with me about gifts and callings. He began to deal with me about gifts and callings. Amen. Hold on for a second. All right. Gotcha. All right. He began to deal with me about gifts and callings. And even though both of them work together, they're not the same. But the Lord began to minister to me, and he began to show me how even, you know, there's a lot of people out here that mistake their gifts for their calling. Amen. So some people, just because they have the gift of prophecy, they think they have the calling of a prophet. Amen. And that's a simple example, but it goes a lot deeper than that. So we're going to bring some clarity to this thing today, amen. And I'm really excited about this message. And I'm going to ask that y'all bear with me, y'all, because, you know, even today, I pretty much wrote up everything today. And y'all know I don't do too well with notes. Amen. I deviate from my notes in a minute. Amen. And sometimes I come on here with no notes at all. But, you know, to God be the glory. Just this morning, you know, I started preparing this message this morning. Well, not even this morning. I started like at 12 o'clock. Amen. And I've been in study and a meditation and worship ever since. So y'all bear with me today, y'all, because I ain't really get a chance to look over everything that I got written down. So, but I'm going to share some deep stuff with you today. And the only reason why it's deep, which it shouldn't be deep, but the only reason why it's deep was because we're not taught it. Amen. There's a lot of stuff that we consider to be meaty, which really should be foundational. Amen. But being that we've been taught stuff within the confines of tradition, kingdom stuff we don't understand. So today I'm going to bring some clarity to this, y'all. If you have your Bibles, go to Romans 8. Romans 8. If you turn with me to Romans 8 real quick. Amen. We're talking about gifts and callings. Amen. That scripture where it talks about the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable or without repentance, it is in Romans 11:29. That's where you get that scripture from. Amen. But the Lord allowed me to see this in verse 8 real quick. I mean chapter 8 in Romans. Amen. Romans 8, 28 to 30. And I'm going to try not to be long before you all today. Amen. Romans 8, 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according, according to his purpose. And I have the New King James, it says the will of God. And it says, and we know that all things work together. I'm sorry. Okay. Let me go back because I'm looking at the verse above, y'all. I'm excited, y'all. I'm sorry. You have to excuse me today. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. Okay, I got it right. I was looking at the verse before. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called, and whom he called, of these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Amen. I'm gonna really dig into that scripture, portion of scripture later on. Amen. If you look up that word called, in the Greek, it's the word kaleo, K-A-L-E-O. It means be so named. Amen. So when God calls us, he calls us by name. Your name is your identity. He calls you as who you're supposed to be and not the identity or the image that you've taken on in the present state in which he called you. Oh, did you just catch what I just said? Amen. Did you just catch that? When God calls you, he calls you by name. Just like when he spoke to Gideon, he said, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. Gideon couldn't see it in himself. Amen. And a lot of times when the Lord calls us as his son or his daughter, we don't see ourselves like that because of the current situation that we're in. Amen. But still in all, he calls us as the identity in which we're going to take on if we answer the call. Amen. So, he says, it also means be so named, and it also means to bid, B-I-D. You know, like, bid me to come. You know, so, I looked up that word bid, and I found some very interesting things, and I'm going to really dig into this. The word bid means to command. Amen. It means to invite. It means to request to come. Amen. And a lot of times requesting does not give you an option. It's just a nice way of saying, come here. Amen. It means to order. It means to direct. It means to enjoin. So that's talking about a union there. Amen. So when he calls you, he's calling you unto himself for you to come into alignment and agreement with him and his plan for your life. It also means to proclaim. It means to declare publicly. Now, all this coming from the word bid. And it also means to make known. So that's something that's openly expressed. So when God calls you, and when he calls you unto himself to become unified with him, to become one in agreement and in alignment with him and his purpose for your life, that's something that you cannot hide. Amen. So many times, you can't serve God in secret. Amen. You can't serve God secretly. Amen. When you're set apart for God, God is going to make sure that it's known. You can try to hide it all day long, but God going to make sure that it's known. He's going to make sure that his stamp of approval is on you. And when God's stamp of approval is on you, those who don't got his stamp of approval gonna see and know that something's different about you. Amen. And also even fellow brethren, because we should know each other. The Bible says, know those who labor among you. Yeah, we should know our brethren. Amen. So, it's something that you cannot hide. Now, this tells me, first of all, that the call, when God calls you, he's not giving you a choice but a command. Amen. He's not giving you a choice but a command. Now, you can choose not to obey if you want to. Amen. And you're going to suffer the consequences for disobedience. But when God first calls us, it is not a choice. Amen. So when he said, I'm calling you to do a specific work, he's pretty much telling you, this is what I want you to do. This is not what I've given you an option in. Oh, my God. See, because so many times we pick and choose what we're going to do for God. You know, we're picking and choosing, you know, our callings. I remember when I first came into the things of God and, you know, and the Lord started dealing with me about my call. He dealt with me very, he accelerated me very fast, and he dealt with me very differently from those that was around me, you know, at the time. And I, you know, I thought myself to be kind of strange a little bit, you know, because I saw stuff and I didn't understand it. I was hearing God so clear, and I didn't understand, you know, everything, you know, I didn't understand my gift at the time. And the Lord started teaching me about the fivefold ministry before I even started hearing real accurate teaching on it, you know. And then I began to inquire of the Lord and ask him. I said, you know, which part of the fivefold ministry have you called me to? And the first word I heard was prophet. And I said, nah. I said, no. See, I told the Lord what I was. See, I told him I wasn't a prophet. I was a teacher with the gift of prophecy, you know. And then later on, I think like a couple of days later, you know, a man of God called me, and he said that you've been praying about your position in the fivefold ministry because this is something that you've been wanting to know, and the Lord told me to tell you that you're a prophet. I said, oh, no. See, because in the beginning I told the Lord, I said, maybe I'm an evangelist. No, I'm a teacher with the gift of prophecy. Because I was teaching Sunday school, and you know, I was, and really that really like challenged me to really study, and the Lord really challenged me, you know, while I was teaching. You know, I even got involved in teaching youth ministry and stuff like that. You know, even then, the Lord dealt with me prophetically then. The Lord used to speak to me while I was writing and teaching stuff, and I would write my little notes and stuff. He used to speak to me clearly, you know. And so I told the Lord that I was a teacher with the gift of prophecy. So it took me about a week to really grasp it, you know, because I didn't want to be a prophet because I associated the ministry of the prophet with one word, and that was suffering. See, I already made up in my mind what I was and what I wasn't. I'm going to help somebody out today. I made up in my mind what I was and what I wasn't. Amen. I said I want no pastor because I won't going to be responsible for people. I won't even want to be responsible for nobody. And at that time, I didn't have an accurate understanding of what the ministry of the pastor was, which a lot of us really don't. I didn't want to be a prophet because I didn't want to suffer. And apostleship was just out of the question. That wasn't even considered. I just brushed that off because I knew I wasn't called to be no apostle either. You know, and I knew apostle, prophet, pastor, that wasn't it. But then, you know, I began to grow in the prophetic a little bit. I became accepting of it, and the Lord began to deal with me prophetically. shortly after I accepted my call as a prophet, shortly after, and I do mean very, very shortly afterwards, God began to deal with me about apostleship. And he wasn't calling me as an apostle then. He wasn't establishing me in that office then, but he told me that in the near future, during that time, that I would be an apostle. I'm like, golly, I'm trying to get the hang of this prophet thing, you know, this prophetic thing. I'm trying to grab hold of this. So none of this I chose for myself. Amen. So many times people picking and choosing their calls. Amen. And I like what my cousin Vicky, that's one of the prophets in the ministry, Spirit of Elijah Ministries. I mean, one time, you know, we were sitting in the living room, and the Lord had kind of got on her one time because, you know, and she did the same thing I did. You know, she said, well, I know I'm not a prophet, you know, and the Lord spoke to her and said this, that don't say what you are and what you are not. Don't say that you're not a prophet, you know, because as she came to discover, that's exactly who she was. And I remember the Lord spoke to me before he even revealed my call, and he said to me, the very thing that you're saying that you're not, the main thing you're saying that you're not, that's who you are. You know, and I kind of brushed it off, you know. I'm like, that can't be the Lord, you know, because I kept saying I'm not a prophet. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an apostle. Amen. And even as an apostle and prophet, I'm still not necessarily a pastor. You know, and I'm going to probably have to explain that later. Amen. But apostleship and the prophetic, that wasn't even considered. Amen. Being over people? No, indeed, no. Being responsible for people? Oh, no. You see, but then come to find out, that was my very assignment and calling. Amen. And I'm saying all this to say this, that we're picking and choosing what we're going to do for God. Amen. And we're saying that we're not this and we're not that. That's not God. Amen. Because Jesus told the 12, he said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. See, God is the one that does the electing. He says, I chose you. And there's some folks that's listening or will listen, you need to know that it is God who has chosen you to do the specific work that he's calling you to do. Amen. It's time to stop telling God no, you know, I can't do it, or that's not for me. Come on now. Come on. Anytime God sees greatness in you, you need to see it in yourself. Anytime God sees greatness in you, you need to see it in yourself. Amen. We're going to break that spirit of low self-esteem and false humility. Well, you know, I'm just a servant of the Lord. We all servants of the Lord. Amen. I'm just a bond servant. Yeah, we all bond servants of the Lord. Amen. Don't mean you to dust under the carpet. Don't mean you dirt under somebody's feet. Oh, see, I don't got time to Amen. All right, so God is the one that does the calling. All right? When he calls us, understand this, y'all, that he's calling us out of something. And he's calling us into something. The Bible states that we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. See, when God calls you, he calls you out of your worldliness. He calls you out of your filthiness. He calls you out of your own lusts and your own selfish ambitions. He calls us out of those things, and he calls us into his perfect plan and will for our lives. He calls us into his kingdom. He calls us out because before you come to God, you are in darkness. Amen. Before you give your life to Christ, you are in darkness. Amen. And notice I didn't say he called us into church, a building. Amen. He called us into his kingdom. He translated us into the kingdom, not a building. Amen. All right? So he's calling us out of something, just like when God called Abraham. He called Abraham out of his familiar place. He called Abraham out of that place because understand that his family was pagans. Abraham's family was pagans. So he called him from out of the midst of that paganistic society. Come on now. And Abraham was not no poor man. Amen. He wasn't a poor man. So he called Abraham out of a paganistic society from a place of a security in paganism and worldly things. God called him out of paganism and called him into something far greater. Amen. Like many of us, God is calling us out of things that we are secure in that's not even pertaining to the things of God. And he's calling us to a place of trust, because the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Just imagine if God tell you right now, leave everything and go to a place I'm going to show you. We're going to be wanting to know, Lord, where we going to go? Where we going to go, God? You know, show me a picture. You know, give me about 45 confirmations. Amen. Abraham ain't need no confirmation. Abraham heard God, knew it was God, and went. Some of us with all these confirmations. Amen. God ain't always give you no confirmation. If he tell you to do something, he expect you to do it. Parents don't like repeating themselves. If you're a parent, you don't like repeating yourself to your child, do you? So how we think God feel? I mean, he's more patient and long-suffering with us. But you think God want to keep telling us the same thing over and over again? Wow, see. Amen. I stepped on some toes right there. But, amen, it's the better years to get you better. Amen. All right. So, I'm going to tell you something. And this is going to shock many of you. Our first calling, you ready for this? Our first calling is to sonship. Amen. Our first calling is to sonship. Check this out. Verse 29, it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. Firstborn among many brethren. So it says that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren, right? Brethren, you know, have the same fathers. Brothers have the same father. I know in today's society, it ain't always like that. Amen. But this is what it's supposed to be right here. Brothers supposed to have the same mom and daddy, right? So brothers have the same father, all right? Same father. I want to make sure y'all follow me here. Sonship denotes maturity to understand and handle the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Notice I didn't say a church building. Come on, sonship. You know what? You got so many people trying to be apostles without first becoming sons. He didn't say the firstborn among many apostles. He didn't say the firstborn among many prophets. Jesus was already walking in that. He says the firstborn among many brethren. Understand the context in which you're speaking of here. Because so many times, you know, we try to rush and do ministry. without first ministering unto God. Our first ministry is unto God. Amen. That's your first ministry, is to God. Some folks want to be a prophet. Huh? Some folks want to be a prophet. Even if you're called to be a prophet, if you're not a son, and just because you go to church, shout, speak in tongues, roll on the flow, and do cartwheels in the middle of the aisle while the shout music going on, does not mean that you are a son. And when I say son, I'm talking about sons and daughters too. Amen. Daughters are included in the sonship part. So ladies, I'm not excluding you out. All right? Amen. Ah, Jesus. He's the firstborn among many brethren, not many pastors and evangelists and teachers. That's the problem. Everybody want to pursue a ministry career and not pursue God. I wrote a post on Facebook earlier, and I didn't get too many. Amens. Amen. If I would have posted something that everybody wanted to hear, amen, I would have got about 100 amens. Amen. But this is what I had wrote on Facebook. I said, sonship comes before apostleship. Our first calling is into sonship. All right? I said our first calling comes before apostleship. Too many leaders don't know what it's like to be a son/daughter first, but they know everything about the apostolic and the prophetic. I said this is error. This is error. Amen. I see some folks really don't like that, amen. Because they want to be an apostle, they want to have a big church first, and they want to do all that. If your goal in ministry is to build a big huge church, then you're in it for the wrong reason. You just need to quit, sit down, and get some more seasoned counsel, and sit under some seasoned leadership before you start trying to do ministry. You need to mature. Amen. Sons and daughters of God are mature. Now, there's a difference. Y'all heard me say this so many times. There's a difference between being a child of God and being a son of God. This is something that the Lord showed me. If you read in scripture where the people of God was addressed as little children, my little children this or my little children that, you know, it was always an issue of immaturity. Always an issue of immaturity. If they won't fighting amongst each other, some of them was acting crazy, and then some of them was so blind and deceived by certain stuff that the apostles had to warn them again. Amen. Now you notice when it talks about sonship, it don't have all that error and all that stuff in it. Amen. Because when you are a son, you are in a matured state in Christ. We got pastors that are children and babies. Pastoring churches. Amen. We have prophets that are babies. And they out here prophesying, telling you what you got in your bank account and calling out your bank account number. Amen. That's not proof of maturity. That's not proof of a real ministry. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. I pray I'm helping somebody out. Amen. So, like that confirms what I said earlier. People mistake their gifts for their callings. Amen. Because you can prophesy real good don't mean that you called to go all around the world and prophesy. Even if you receive the prophecy saying that you're going to prophesy and this and that and the third, that's your whole ministry. That's your whole calling from God. By all means, receive it. Amen. I pray I'm helping somebody out today. All right, y'all? So, sons are mature. Lord have mercy. I can't get off of that. The Holy Ghost won't let me get off of that. Because it's some folks that need to check their maturity level in the things of God. Amen. When you're mature, amen, you mature not only in doctrine but in character. I've seen, and even gifts can be included with that. Amen. But if you have an accurate gift and poor character, you're still false. Amen. You're still false. I just want to make sure you know that. All right? Now, this is something here that's really going to burst a lot of religious bubbles right here. If you check out verse 30, it says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called." So that means that you, if you're called to do something, you're called from the foundation of the world. That's why he says you are predestined. So that means that your life has already been mapped out from the beginning. That's where God's sovereignty is coming into play here. All right? Now, it says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, then he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified." Amen. All right? So, it's something that the Lord really showed me. When you're walking into sonship, sons are justified and then glorified. Now, it's still in the context here of those that who are he predestined and called. Amen. Sons are justified and then glorified. Amen. I'm going to show you. Watch. If you look up that word justified, I looked it up, but I actually looked it up in the Greek, and the Greek word for that is dikaio, D-I-K-A-I-O-O. All right? It means to render righteous, or such he ought to be. It means to show, exhibit, and thence one to be righteous, such as he is, and wishes himself to be considered. It means to declare, pronounce one to be just, righteous, or such as he ought to be. It means to be freed. And really, when you become a son here, amen, when you enter into sonship, and when it comes to justification, according to these definitions here, I see words like as he ought to be or such as he is. That means that this is a birthright. Amen. And understand this, that a justification also means to be freed. You cannot be freed unless you have received deliverance ministry. Uh-oh. See, there's not enough deliverance ministries in the church. Amen. People are just saying, you know, well, you know, we justified or we saved by grace through faith and stuff like that. Yeah, but you don't know what that grace and what that grace and what Jesus did made available to us. Amen. If people truly grasp that, if the church really grasped that, we won't have no sick folks in the church. We won't have no demon-possessed folks in the church. Amen. Healing and deliverance ministries will be sweeping all across the world. Amen. So when it comes to justification, you cannot tiptoe around deliverance ministries. I know so many try to, and folks love to say, especially pastors who are not operating in it, they say, well, deliverance is not my ministry, or that's not my part in the body. We all have, I've heard all kind of stuff, y'all. You know, and God bless them. They just don't read. I mean, you know, because it says these signs shall follow them that believe. You don't even have to be an apostle to cast out a devil. You don't have to be a prophet or a pastor to cast out a devil. It says these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. My name they'll cast out devils. Amen. So we cannot say that we're justified by grace. Because what grace made available to us, amen, it has to be demonstrated. Oh, see, I'm going to help somebody out. It has to be demonstrated. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me sit down. Amen. So, deliverance ministry must be in effect. Amen. You can't be justified unless you have been delivered, had some devils cast out of you. We so busy shouting and rolling on the floor, amen. And I know it's been an argument about you know shouting and stuff like that. But I'm gonna tell you something. A lot of that stuff ain't God. Now Apostle here, he called it the dunny. Amen. Folks get revved up, that Hammond B3 chord, and they be going to town. Amen. Now, but if you're doing, my only issue is if you're doing all of that and there's no freedom, no deliverance, you're still sick. You still, after all the hype is gone, your sickness back, your demons are back, everything is back. Amen. Something wrong with that. Very wrong with that. And a lot of that stuff just ain't God. I'm not saying all of it, because I've been around some people who had done it, you know, done it. They did that, you know, the shout music came, and I literally felt the genuine anointing on it. But most of the time, I don't feel the anointing. Amen. Most of the time, I discern some spirits operating behind all of that. All that screaming, a lot of that stuff demons be manifesting, amen. But that's another segment. I'm gonna talk about that another time, amen. All that, yeah, amen. Pastor Jackie, you're right. In the chat room, this is a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, amen. Because if it was real power, folks would be changing, folks would be healed. Come on now, folks wouldn't be going around the same mountain and operating in the same cycle of stuff. Amen. All right? So justification and deliverance ministry goes hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. All right? Amen. Y'all still read y'all Bibles, right? I know you do. I know we got some scholars on this phone. We got some seasoned folks in the chat room. Amen. I know y'all read y'all Bibles now. Amen. All right. So, now, Romans 3, and I believe it's verse 28, says that we're justified by faith, right? It says we're justified by faith. Now, but check this out. That faith, and it's still in the context of sonship, y'all, because sons are justified and glorified, all right? Sons are justified and glorified. Now, that faith that we have must be working through love. Galatians 5 and 6 says faith walks, works through love. Circumcision or uncircumcision, it don't prevail anything. But what's most important is that faith that works through love. All right? So, understand this, that our faith must work by our love. Love for God first, amen. And then understand this, if you can't love your brother or your sister, don't expect your faith to produce nothing. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It says faith that works through love. Understand this, faith is powerless without love. Come on now. Faith is powerless without love. Love is literally the fuel. Faith is literally like the vehicle, and love is literally like the fuel that fuels the vehicle to move. With faith, you can move mountains. But without love, your faith has no power. Oh, my God. Because faith works by love. Amen. Faith works by love. Read it. Matter of fact, y'all going to make me go to it because I feel folks pulling on my spirit. They're like, what in the world? Yes, indeed. I feel you in the Holy Ghost. That's all right. I'm going to show it to you. Amen. Galatians. Show it. I'm going to show it to you. Galatians 5 and 6, it says, for in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. But, now that but is saying that this is what works. See, circumcision and uncircumcision don't avail anything, but this is what will avail. Come on. Oh, my goodness. Faith working through love. So without love, don't expect your faith to work. Amen. If you ugly and nasty with people, can't treat folks right, don't expect God to honor your faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, and those that come to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, without faith, now that's in the context of that faith being fueled by love, because I just read to you that faith works by love. So without love, that faith is powerless. So if you try to come to God with some tainted, weak faith that's not fueled by love, then don't expect God to honor that. Amen. I know I'm preaching good now. Amen. But that's all right. We're going to get there, y'all. Amen. We're going to get there. All right? So faith is powerless without love. Faith won't work unless it's motivated by love. Real sons are perfected in love. Sons and daughters are perfected in love. Notice when, oh, my God, thank you, Holy Ghost. Even when the apostle was addressing the church's immaturity issues, he called them little children. And it was most of the time you will see that it was always an issue of love. Amen. Immature people can't love. Immature Christians cannot love. It's hard for them to love. They're struggling with anger and unforgiveness and bitterness, and they're still struggling with character issues. They can't stop cussing. They can't stop having sex. They can't stop doing none of that stuff. They can't stop listening to secular music. Amen. And then they defend what they do. That's wrong. Immaturity. You have not been made perfect in love yet. Amen. So, because the Bible says that this is love, that we keep God's commandments. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, see. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. So, proof of our love is in our lifestyle towards God. Amen. Am I helping somebody so far? Thank you. I felt the scripture. Amen. 1 John 5, I sure was looking for it. Amen. It says, 1 John 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, amen, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Amen. Commandments are not burdensome. Now you all know this ain't talking about the Old Testament commandments, amen, because they were burdensome. Come on. So we know this ain't talking about the law here. Amen. It's talking about what he commands us to do under grace. Amen. That's for all the legalistic folks. Amen. So for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So still here, it's talking about love and then faith. See, you can't have accurate faith without love. Amen. This still talking about gifts and callings. Amen. See, because in order to understand your calling, you must grasp the love thing first. Amen. Because you need faith for your calling. It says, for this is the love of God. So verse 3 talks about the love of God. And then, remember, love is what fuels faith, right? So it says, so whatever is born of God overcomes the world. You overcome the world because you love God enough to dedicate your life to him and not participate in worldly stuff. And that love is what produces the mobility that you need in order for your faith to work. Amen. I pray I'm helping somebody out today. Amen. God bless y'all in the chat room. See, we got some more folks in the chat room, and some more folks came on the call. God bless y'all. Amen. So our faith must be fueled by love. If not, then our faith won't produce nothing. So get your character right first. Amen. Get that character right. All right? So now, we all know what justified means, right? It means to be freed up. Amen. It means to be declared righteous. Declared righteous. God bless you, guest 9. I see you. I saw you. God bless you. It means to be declared righteous. It didn't say you declare your righteousness, because when you're justified, God declares you as righteous. You don't have to go around talking about you righteous, amen, because God declares. And see, the problem is that it's just like the scripture says, where they are ignorant of God's righteousness and go about trying to establish their own righteousness. Amen. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It didn't say we were filthy rags. Let's get off that false humility stuff real quick. Amen. Amen. We ain't nothing but filthy rags. The devil is a liar. Ain't no filthy rag. Amen. Glory to God. That ain't what the Lord said about me. I ain't no filthy rag. The correct context, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Amen. Our righteousness, ain't that what it say? Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But if we take upon God's righteousness and he declare us as righteous, my God, if he declare us to be in right standing with him, he declare us righteous, then my goodness, the devil can't say nothing. Well, he can say something, but he can't do nothing. Your mama, your daddy can't do nothing about it. Once God speak it, it's final. Amen. Some folks need to grasp that today. Amen. Because some folks have been walking in false humility. Oh, ain't nothing but dirt. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. The devil is a liar. I ain't a nobody. Amen. I don't like that song. I know they meant well when they wrote it, but, you know, now that I got this revelation here, I'm not a nobody. I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can change anybody. Some of y'all like that song, but that's all right, though. Amen. We're going to have to change the words to that song. We're going to have to tweak that a little bit. Amen, and get some kingdom input in that. Amen. So I ain't a nobody, and I ain't gonna sit up here and let nobody tell me I'm a nobody either. You ain't nothing but dirt. The devil is a lie. Amen. Guess 6. Oh my God, that's a song. Yes, that's a real song. Amen. I'm just a nobody. It's a real old song. Amen. But it's a song. Sad to say. Amen. All right. All right, so sons are justified. And once they're justified, then they're glorified. All right? Now, in the Greek context in which the New Testament was written in, if you look up really what the word glorified means in this Greek context, it means to magnify, it means to celebrate, it means to honor. It means to be adorned with lustre. Now, I looked up that word lustre, you know, because stuff I don't know what it means, I look it up. It means a reflected light. It means sheen, gloss, radiance, brilliance of light. Amen. So when you're glorified, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The world sits in darkness, so he is the light, right? He's the light. Light is also represented by illumination, revelation, knowledge. Amen. Because once the Lord begins to, oh my goodness, once he begins to clean you up and deliver you and put you in right standing with him, then he's able to impart himself in you. Oh my goodness. He's able to give you knowledge and revelation concerning kingdom things. Stuff that is not revealed to the world or to those who are walking in darkness and unrighteousness. Oh, my goodness. Amen. See, that's the problem. Nobody got no revelation. We got all this rough time teaching going on. Amen. Folks not walking in revelation. You know, day in the last day was fine 50 years ago. Amen. But how is day in the last day going to get me out the mess that I'm in? Amen. There's some kingdom revelation you need to get out of day and in the last day. Amen. Everything in the Bible is significant. But now it's time to step it up. Oh, my goodness. See, I'm making some folks mad now. That's why most of these denominations out here are powerless and they can't produce no souls for the kingdom. Amen. Now, they'll make some good church workers. Amen. If you just be faithful and mopping the floor, baby, that's all right. That's all right. God see what you're doing, you know. 20 years later, you're still mopping the floor. It's okay, baby. Your reward going to be in heaven. See, we're not producing sons and daughters of the kingdom. All we're producing is church members, and we're making them stagnant. Amen. That ain't God. Amen. My calling is not to scrub no flow. I don't mind scrubbing the flow. I'll scrub it if it needs to be done. But don't sit up here and tell me that that's my purpose. Don't you know you got some leaders out here now that's actually raising up people now saying that their purpose is to serve them? Really? Really? Somebody say that ain't God. I know y'all muted and y'all in the chat room and y'all not on the line, but y'all can repeat after me and say that ain't God. That ain't God. Thank you for your cooperation. Amen. Amen. Glory. I'm loving this. See, because when we say that we're glorified, all of a sudden folks start talking, oh, my God, that is heretical. No, it's right here. It says those who he called, he predestined, he justified, and he glorified. That's what he said. Oh, my God, how can I be glorified? Amen. Amen. If you're thinking like that, then I don't know what type of teacher you're sitting under. You might want to, you know, leave that kind of teaching, but that's all right. And we're going to get you there. Amen. So light, that's why even like when you have spiritual sight and you see somebody and they're actually glorified, you see them literally illuminated in the spirit. Now, for those of you all who are seasoned prophets and seers, you all understand what I'm saying. All right? Now, glorified also means to make renowned. Now, I looked up that word renown. It means to known or to talk or to be talked about known, it means to be known or talked about by many people. It also means to be famous. So when you're glorified, amen, your name begins to become great. Amen. This ain't just for apostles and prophets, this is for sons too. Amen. So now pretty much when you're glorified, when folks thought you was a nobody, they'll actually start seeing that you are somebody. And they'll see the evidence that you are somebody and that you belong to God by what God is doing in your life and manifesting in your life and through you. Amen. Did you just catch what I just said? Amen. So, you'll be made known. Amen. God's glory will be shown upon your life. Why? Because now you've allowed yourself to be rightly positioned in God. So now that you're rightly positioned in God, now he can actually begin, my God, to demonstrate his fullness in your life. When you're glorified, you're literally, is the best way I can describe it is like you're almost mantled with God. Oh my God. It's like you're wearing God as a cloak almost. And we know that that's not literal, but that's what it seems like. Amen. That's the best way I can really describe this state. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Now, do everybody understand what I'm saying? Amen. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page here. Glorified also means to cause the dignity and worth of some person or thing to become manifest and acknowledged. Amen. And acknowledged, all right? So, meaning this, those that overlooked you, and understand that this should not be your motivation for trying to get into that place because it'll never work. Amen. It'll never work, but you do it because you love God, all right? So, amen. But those that thought you weren't going to be nothing, they'll actually look and see that you are something. Amen. All right. They ain't nothing but Jesus. He's a little carpenter boy. He's Joseph's son, you know. He normal. He regular, just like us, you know. Some of y'all got some relatives or some family members that just see you as just common. They'll never see, they're not seeing you in the light of God's greatness upon your life, but they're seeing you as the same old person you used to be. But when you're glorified, they can't deny the ministry. They cannot deny the manifestation and the demonstration. As much as they ain't going to want to acknowledge it, they're going to be forced to literally acknowledge the glory of God upon your life. Amen. I know I'm helping somebody else out. Amen. I know I'm helping somebody else out. All right? So your worth, your value begins to become acknowledged. Those that didn't value you before, amen, will begin to see that God actually values you. And they have no choice but to acknowledge it. Amen. But once again, it starts back with that love thing, that faith that works by love, like the scripture says. Amen. Faith without love won't produce nothing. Not for God. Not for the kingdom, not for better in your life. Amen. All right, so when you're glorified, you're literally possessed with the fullness of God. Amen. How many would like to be possessed with the Holy Spirit? Possessed with the fullness of the Godhead. Amen. Come on now. Jesus was our example in the earth. Oh my goodness. See, when you are glorified, his love motivates you and it mobilizes you. You are literally, and I'm going to check this out, some of y'all, before some of y'all log out the chat room and hang up, let me get a chance to explain what I'm getting ready to say here. When you're glorified, you're literally a walking Christ in the earth. Now, I'm going to prove that to you. All right? 1 John 4:17. Let's go there. 1 John 4:17. Amen. 1 John 4:17. Amen. Don't hang up just yet. Amen. After this, then you can decide whether you want to hang up or not. 1 John 4:17, it says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. And remember, in the beginning, it talked about love has been perfected. So this is still in the same context of being perfected in love. Oh, my God. My goodness. Oh, see, I'm getting so much revelation out of that scripture right now. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Amen. So regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of what's going on, even God judging everything and everybody, amen, you could have boldness before the Lord. Why? Because you're perfected in love. And when you're perfected in love, that next statement says, as he is, so are you in this world. When you're perfected in love, you literally begin to become like Christ in the earth. See, I just went over some folks' head, but that's all right. Let it marinate for a little bit. Let it marinate and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Amen. Because he gonna tell you. And he gonna relate it to you in your situation. All right? So when we're walking in full sonship, which is our first calling, y'all, before God calls you to be an apostle or prophet, he calls you to be a son and a daughter. Amen. Oh, let me say that again. Before he calls you to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, he calls you to be a son first. We still talking about gifts and callings, y'all, because our first calling is that of a son and a daughter. Come on. Amen. When we're walking in our full sonship, which is our first call, we're literally fulfilling Romans 8:29. We're literally fulfilling that scripture where it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that we might be the firstborn, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So literally, the image of God, Jesus, my God, portrayed the image of God. And God is calling us to walk in the image of his son Jesus, right? The firstborn among many brothers. So that makes him what? Our elder brother. All right? Jesus is not our father. He's our elder brother. God the Father is our father. Amen. Somebody keeps saying, Jesus is my daddy. No, he's not. He's your elder brother. Amen. He's your elder brother, and he's the high king of the kingdom of God. God the Father has imperial status, all right? He's an emperor, really. He has imperial status. Jesus is the high king, king and lord, because he's king of kings and lord of lords. So we're, being that he's the high king, that means he's over other kings. So we're the kings and princes that he's over. Amen. We got to look at it from a kingdom a perspective here, all right? All right. Glory to God. Amen. But that word image, I looked up that word image, y'all. I looked up that word image. And literally in the Greek is the word ikon. E-I-K-O-N. It means figure. It means figure likeness. But likeness, it's talking about likeness in the context in the context of this, which is and is really speaking of moral likeness, divine nature, and this is the definition the Holy Spirit gave me right here, living in the reality of heaven while on the earth. Amen. This is the reality, y'all, that Adam lived in. It's the same reality Jesus came to restore back to us. When God first made man, he said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them have dominion. Amen. So when God first made man, man was in the image and the likeness of God. That means he looked like God on the outside, and he was like God on the inside. Oh, my goodness. My Jesus. So, Jesus restored the image and the likeness of God in the person of himself when he walked the earth. And we are supposed to walk in that same image and likeness that Jesus did. Amen. See, a lot of us, we walk in false humility. We'll accept the justified part, but we won't accept the glorified part. In Scripture, and I just read to you a Scripture, that sons of God are justified and glorified. Amen. Ooh, I love this. I love this. I love this because it challenges folks to study their Bibles. It challenges folks to get out of religion so they can start walking in some power, and some real power and authority. Come on now. So they can really truly start walking in their inheritance as sons and daughters. This is part of our inheritance. So many miss it because so many don't want to break out of that religious shell. Well, that's not what I was taught growing up. Who cares what you've been taught growing up? If it ain't producing no fruit, it's worth examining. And what you taught growing up still got you angry, broke, busted, sick, demon-possessed, then you need to evaluate what you growed up on. Great-grandma and them won't write about everything. They won't write about a lot of stuff. But what we saw back then was the grace of God. Amen. A lot of them lived on grace back then. Amen. But now God is calling us to come into the full knowledge of who he is and come into the knowledge of our identity as sons and daughters of the kingdom of God so that we may be able to demonstrate his glory in the earth so that the glory of the Lord can cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Amen. All right. All right, y'all. Amen. Hey, amen. Somebody was calling me, but that's all right. I can't answer that right now. All right, y'all. So this is the reality that we're called to live in. All right? In this reality, all things are possible, y'all. All things are possible. Amen. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. I'm really messing with some folks' minds right now. Amen. But it's all right. God trying to get us there, y'all. We're going to get there. Amen. Amen. We're going to get there. And we're going and we going to be straight. All right? All right, y'all. Go with me to 2 Peter real quick. 2 Peter, and I'm going to get ready to wrap this thing up in a little bit. Because I've been on here for an hour and 9 minutes. I ain't realized it, but I ain't realized I've been on here that long. See, in the glory realm, everything is accelerated, so you don't necessarily realize that everything is the way that it is. All right, y'all. 2 Peter 1. Amen. 2 Peter 1. And it says, Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, all right, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, so. So it's talking about here. In the context of faith. Amen. Verse 1: those who obtain like precious faith, the faith that we have been taught. Amen. The faith which is motivated by love. Amen. Faith that is motivated by love. All right? Precious like faith with us by the righteousness. Come on. Righteousness, justification, same thing. Oh, y'all better catch this in the Holy Ghost. That faith which is produced, which is working by love, is really what produces righteousness. Amen. We're justified by faith. So it's by faith that we're justified, but faith works by love. Amen. I just thought I'd point that out. Amen. It says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things. It didn't say some. It say all things that pertain to life, and godliness. Giving us all things, not some things, all things, all right? Through the knowledge of him. Key word in the word knowledge is know. K-N-O-W. Know. That's the key word in knowledge. All right? So it's through this faith that is that is working by love, which produces that justification, in which and when we're justified, God declares us righteous. Come on now, he declares us righteous. So in him declaring us righteous, now we're in a state where we can be glorified, in which God actually gives us power and authority. Come on now, and he gives us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Why? Because we actually now beginning to know him. We're actually now beginning to know him. We're beginning to actually have knowledge of him. You can only have knowledge of a person unless you really know him. I'm talking about accurate knowledge here. You got to hear from the mouth of that person. I know folks talk different stuff and say, well, this and that and the third about a person, but you get the whole pie from a person that you actually know personally. You have a personal relationship with them, and you can talk to them. Amen. So it says, through knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Called by glory or because. By or because. Amen. Glory and virtue. Now, because glory and virtue is what he's calling us to, so it's by that he's through knowledge of him that he's actually given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Amen. Praise God. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now we have promise because of all this, you know, we actually have promises that are given by God to us over our life. All right, great and precious promises that through these you may be partakers of his divine nature. Amen. Still talking about that glorified state, y'all. Follow me here. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let me touch on this for a second, because you can't be justified and glorified and still worldly. Amen. You can't be justified and glorified and still worldly. In order to get to this state, you must forsake all worldliness. Amen. That means you gotta let go everything, anything that this world condones and encourages. You already know it ain't God. Amen. And I'm noticing this in the Christian world now, that there is a lot of worldliness going on. And as soon as you address it, they're ready to cut your head off. Amen. And see, there's a lot of conformity too. And the reason why people conform is because they have no identity. But I'm telling you what your identity is right here. You don't need to conform and take upon an image that God has not even ordained for you. Amen. I'd rather take upon myself the image of God. That's why you got all these preachers with earrings and mohawks now, because they really have no sense of identity. That's why our young people doing it now, because there's no identity. They're not taught their identity. Amen. They're not taught. And because they're not taught, then they go straying out looking for identity. It's a part of every person that is ever born into this world to know their identity and know who they are. So if you don't know who you are, then you're going to continue to search. Amen. And then mess around, the devil will give you something. The devil will give you identity, you're looking for one. That's why you better know your identity and know who you are in Christ and know what he has made available to you as a believer. Amen. So in order to even get to this glorified state, you and I, we can't be worldly. Amen. You and I, we cannot be worldly. Amen. So that means that, and y'all know I love to touch y'all record collections. Some of y'all, all y'all not doing it, but some folks is. I love to touch that record collection, because folks don't like when you get on their music. Amen. Folks don't like when you get on their Luthers and Luther Vandross and they D'Angelos and their Jill Scotts and Alicia Keys and all this other stuff. Amen. Oh, see, I just lost some folks there. You know, I go on Facebook and social networks and look at these pastors and these leaders and their apostles' pages, and you see right in the music section, you see Jill Scott, Fantasia, Alicia Keys. You see all this stuff. You see all this stuff. Are you supposed to be who? Really? Amen. Come on now. That ain't God. Spirit authors on the music. These folks don't serve the God that you serve, so therefore their spirit is on the music. So when you play it, what are you playing into you? What are you playing into your house? David played the harp and the evil spirit left Saul because the anointing that was on David's life was upon the music in which he was playing through the strings. Glory to God. Case closed. I'm so tired of talking about that, I shouldn't have to even bring that up. Amen. But there's still some more people that don't know, and their leaders are not teaching them. Amen. All right. All right, y'all, move on. But also for this very reason, given all diligence, so for this very reason here, y'all, you know, understand this, that in order when you enter into this glorified state, it's up to you to stay there. Amen. It's up to you to stay there. And it says, but for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Amen. Self-control, y'all. Self-control. See, I can go there. Amen. You hucking and bucking, shaking and spitting and laughing and rolling on the floor, that ain't the glory. But anyway, move on. Glory to God. Self-control. To self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Amen. Love. You notice love is at the end, but it's the foundation of everything that I just mentioned. It says, for if these things are yours and abound, that means you grow in it, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. So the reason why you ain't producing nothing, because you don't have these qualities. Oh, my goodness. See? Amen. You will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you're operating in these things, you will continue to get increased knowledge and revelation concerning Jesus and everything that's pertaining to him. All right? For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. That means you have no revelation. You can't see. And even if you pretend like you got some revelation, your revelation is not accurate. Because if it's not taught and demonstrated and motivated out of love, then it's not accurate. All right? But anyway, it says, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from old sins. Yeah, because you done got self-righteous now. Amen. All right? So, verse 10, it says, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Make your call and election sure. I just read to you how you make your call and election sure. Amen. By adding to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Oh my goodness, I just got a revelation. I just seen something here, but I can't teach that right now. Amen, but that's all right. For so an entrance will be supplied for you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, if you're not doing these things, then if you're not doing these things, then you can't even enter into the kingdom. It says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom. Amen. Of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you're not doing these things, then you're not even in the kingdom. You can't enter. So you got people that's going to church and they're shouting, they're speaking in tongues and rolling on the floor, but they are actually they're not in the kingdom. Amen. My God. Glory to God. Amen. So, understand this, y'all. You know what? Let me go down. It says, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Amen. See, this was not no futuristic reality. This is a right now reality. Amen. Present truth meaning this was the truth that they was living now. And the apostle was encouraging the people to stay there. He taught them how to get there, and he's teaching them how to stay there. In that justified and glorified state as a son and a daughter of God. This must be a present reality. Jesus did not ascend to heaven in bodily form for nothing. Amen. He did it to show us an example. Because even when he had rose from the grave, he wouldn't let Mary touch him. He couldn't let Mary touch him until, you know, he was ascended. He was in a glorified state after his resurrection. Oh, my God. So understand this, that God is trying to get us to a place where we're literally in a glorified state even while we're walking the earth. Come on now. We're supposed to be vessels of glory. We talking about we want revival and all this other stuff. Amen. I'm telling you how you're going to get revival. Become a son and a daughter and see what will God use you to do. Amen. All these apostles in the world, if all of them was truly sons, then we would have been had what they call an awakening and some global revival and all this other stuff. Amen. Ah, Jesus, see. Amen. Amen. Got some more guests in the chat room. Amen. God bless y'all. Got some more folks on the call, too. Amen. God bless y'all. Amen. Got some more folks here. All right. Wrapping it up, y'all. Now, so callings, all right, callings, gifts and callings, all right, I dealt with calls first. Amen. Because we think our first calling is to be called into a ministerial office. And understand this, that your apostleship or your prophetic office or whatever it is that God has called you to, it should be birthed out of your sonship. But a lot of times it's reversed. Oh, my God. Jesus, I felt that. A lot of times it's reversed. See, that's why everything is out of alignment. That's why I thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you. That's why the Lord spoke to me. He said that this is the season of realignment, which means that he's putting everything back in its proper place. Amen. He's declaring the right way to do it. If you bring people in and teach them how to love God, amen, gifts will come. Ain't nothing wrong with teaching gifts. Amen. But you can't teach gifts above loving God. Because if you teach gifts above loving God, when they minister gifts, they won't minister gifts in love. Amen. Somebody better read 1 Corinthians 13. Without love, you can speak in tongues, prophesy, and it won't mean nothing. It won't mean a hill of beans to the Lord. Amen. It won't mean nothing. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. All right, y'all. Let's get into the gifts. All right? Because the callings of God, Paul said he was called to be an apostle. But best believe he was a son first. Amen. He was processed. Amen. He was matured before he got into a ministerial office. The Holy Ghost just got me on this right now. Because so many times we're in pursuit of an office where God said, I'm a prophet. That's fine. Amen. But are you a son? Are you a daughter? Are you matured in the things of God? Amen. My God. Folks don't want to hear that. Folks don't want to hear that because some folks will literally have to sit down and take a break from their ministry, and that's going to affect their pockets. In order for some of them to be right, they're going to have to do that. They got to sit down for a little bit. I ain't saying not literally do nothing, but you ain't going to be able to do everything that you think you want to do. Amen. All right, Vicky, I'm getting ready to unmute you. I see that you're on. All right, I'm getting ready to unmute you real quick. All right. Cool. All right, now. I don't know if Jasmine's on this line or not. I have two Virginia folks. Jasmine, is that you? You on the line? Okay, Jasmine, you on the line? Amen. All right, praise God. That's cool. All right, so now, gifts, y'all. The word gifts, when it said the gifts and callings of God without repentance, the Greek word for the word gifts is the word charisma, all right? charisma. That's a very familiar word around here. Charismatic movement, you know, got their name charismatic from that word. Amen. That's where we get the word charismatic from anyway. Amen. But the charismatic movement decided to use that. Amen. But the word charisma, it's when it pertains to gifts, it means a favor with which one receives without any merit of his own. Grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve, amen, serve the church of Christ. Not lord and be tyrant over them and see who's going to be best, or, you know, my gift stronger than yours, or my gift better than yours, or you can't prophesy like me, or don't nobody call out numbers and phone numbers like me. Really? Really, right? All right. So, it's also the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on the souls by the Holy Spirit. Understand this, that gifts are freely given, not earned. All right? A baby in Christ can move in gifts. A baby in Christ can move in the prophetic. Amen. They can move in healing. They can move in deliverance. Why? Because when you come into God and you become a believer, you inherit authority from God. All right? But there's a process that you must undergo in order to mature into divine sonship. When God made Adam, God made Adam a grown man. He didn't make him a baby. All right? All right. He made him a grown man, so that says something. He didn't make him a child and then grow him up. No, he made him into a grown man. So God wants us to be mature. Amen. Babes can move in gifts. Babes can prophesy. As we can tell now on YouTube and different, when we go to different churches. Amen. Because you got a bunch of babies claiming an office that they have not truly met all the qualifications for. A lot of them are not even mature. Amen. And when you're not mature like that, you'll go out and damage people. Amen. You will damage people for the worse. I've seen babies calling themselves apostles and chief apostles and chief prophets and all these other ridiculous names. Amen. And go on a rampage and start damaging people. And get people to believe in them because they got a strong gift. Oh, my God. A strong gift. Gifts and callings of God are without repentance. They're always going to be there. Your gift and your call. But understand this, that your office in the fivefold ministry should come out of your sonship. Amen. You become a son before you're an apostle. The son is the best thing you can ever be, because you got some sons that will never be apostles. You have some sons in the kingdom that will never be prophets. Amen. So if your pursuit is that of a ministerial office, amen, then your motives is already wrong. Because the Bible says, who much is given, much is required. So an apostle has a great responsibility in the kingdom of God. Prophets have a great responsibility in the kingdom of God. Amen. And so does the rest of the fivefold ministry. We have great responsibility in the kingdom. All right? So, but the best place to be is in that sonship, my God. Amen. Remember, the calling, when God calls you and he chooses you to do a specific work, amen, it's not something that you picked. It's something that our God ordained for you to do and walk in. And it's something that he's requiring you to do. An apostle, all an apostle is a job description. All right? Just because I'm an apostle don't make me the Lord of your life, and it don't make me no better than you. Amen. And just because you're not an apostle don't mean that you're less valuable and that I'm going to look on you and squash you like a roach. You got a lot of apostles that demand all this servitude and stuff like that. And yes, give honor to whom honor is due. There's certain things that God gives certain people that he don't give everybody else. Yes, and there are different rankings in the kingdom of God. Y'all have heard me teach all this stuff. Amen. There's ranks and order and stuff like that in the kingdom of God. But if everything is motivated by love, amen, and everything is done out of love, amen, even those who are not that high up in the ranks concerning offices, amen, they still feel equally as valuable. Even though they may not have equal authority, they're equally as valuable, and they won't feel intimidated, they won't feel nothing. But you got these super bishops and these super apostles out here now, amen, lording over everybody, making everybody get them their suitcase and their water and all this other stuff. This stuff is just ridiculous, y'all. Come on now, this stuff is ridiculous. A lot of this stuff ain't God. Amen, and they think because then apostle, you're supposed to believe that their word is law and everything else, and you can't go study for yourself, and you can't think for yourself, and, you know, just because somebody, you know, just because of a prophet prophesied something and everybody believe in them, you just got to accept what they say because they're a prophet and everything they say is right. The devil is a liar. Get a mind of your own. Think for yourself. Study to show yourself approved. So that you won't be fooled by all this foolishness and all this foolery and stuff that's out here. Amen. Folks got no character. Amen. Get some character. All right. Amen. Glory to God. I've seen some very accurate prophets be just as arrogant and pompous and prideful as they want to be. On their way to hell, too. I've seen people, you know, operating gifts and signs and wonders and they on a fast boat to hell. Amen. Not everybody said, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out devils in your name, done so many wonderful works in your name? And he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. Yeah, you did all that stuff, and I allowed you to do it. Amen. I even anointed you to do it. Amen. But that was by grace. That wasn't because I approved of your lifestyle and everything that you was doing. Amen. You can cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead, and still go to hell. All right? Still go to hell. Oh, it's true. It's very true. Amen. So don't get caught up in all these gifts. That's the problem now. Everybody caught up in a gift. I'm not impressed by a gift. Psychics got a gift. All a psychic is a prophet gone wrong. That's all it is. And they tapped into a spirit. They tapped into a realm of the spirit that is forbidden. Amen. For believers to tap into. Amen. Psychics got gifts. That's why they make so much money. Ain't Sylvia Brown still on Montel? I haven't seen that mess in a long time, and I don't really look at too much TV, but, you know, ain't Sylvia Brown on Montel? Hey, man, she be telling them folks all kind of whacked out stuff. And some stuff she say be accurate, and some stuff with all that past life garbage, y'all know that ain't straight. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, y'all. So, the gifts are to serve the church, all right? The nine gifts of the Spirit are to serve the church. Gifts are freely given, not earned. Like I said, a baby can move in the gifts. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm a type of person where I encourage the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. We do teachings and trainings and activations in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. But I also teach character first. You must be motivated by love. Amen. I encourage the gifts to be used in evangelism. All of that. All the gifts are needed. All right? The gifts are needed. But the gifts must be fueled by love. All right? The gifts must be fueled by love. The gifts are spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are important and needed. But that's not proof of maturity or sonship. Let me say that again. The gifts are important. The gifts of the Spirit are important and they are needed, but they're not proof of maturity and sonship. Nowadays, folks that say that they're apostles and prophets, that's not proof of sonship. Amen. Which really, the right way for it to be is, you shouldn't be an apostle or a prophet unless you're a son first. Amen. Unless you're matured in the things of God. Amen. But that's not the case now. So now we have to look at it even from the fivefold ministry offices. Amen. I can't go by whether you're an apostle or a prophet or not. I got to go by your fruit. I got to go by your maturity to see if you're even a son. Because if you're still a babe, amen. And what makes a son is not the fact that you know all these scriptures, because you got a lot of folks, you got babies that still know all these scriptures, and they pastor in churches. And all these scriptures ain't living half of nothing of what they preaching. Amen. So, and I mean, even in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul had to address the gifts being used out of control. Once again, it's a maturity issue. It's a sonship issue. You still got children and babies operating in gifts, which is nothing wrong with that, but they need to be under seasoned folks who can teach them the right way to do it. Amen. And they teach them sonship is more important than a gift. And without sonship, your gift don't mean nothing. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians, Paul addressed the gifts being used out of control, and even the offices of the apostolic and the prophetic. He had to bring some order to the prophetic, and he had to expose false apostles out there too, because folks that was claiming these gifts back then, it was folks that was claiming these gifts in these offices, and they were nowhere near approved of God. Amen. Nor were they submitted. Praise God. So, y'all, I'm getting ready to conclude this teaching, but I pray that you all was blessed by it. Gifts and callings go hand in hand, and with your calling, the gifts accompany your calling. Amen. Because really, when you become a newborn believer, you're supposed to, you know, learn of the gifts and operate. The Bible says desire the gifts, desire spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. Amen. So, yes, we are to desire spiritual gifts, but 1 Corinthians 13 says it's supposed to be motivated by love. Amen? So, even in your infant stage in Christ, you're still supposed to lay hands on the sick. You're supposed to cast out devils. Come on now. You're supposed to do all these things as a babe. See, we got it backwards. We think of somebody operating in deliverance, oh, they're seasoned men of God. No. You're supposed to be doing this stuff as babes. Amen. You become seasoned when you become a son. Amen. When God can actually entrust you with the mysteries of the kingdom. All right, I'm gonna sit down. Shut up now. All right. Amen. I'm getting ready to open the lines up here. All right. I'm getting ready to open up the lines here in just a second. Amen. Hallelujah. I pray that you all were blessed. And also, y'all, if you all have background noise, please, by all means, mute your phones. Amen. Because it interferes with the recording. Amen. So if you all have background noise of any kind, you know, a little bit, it was all right. But if you got all this crazy commotion going on, you know, please, and I'll mute your phones. Amen. Because I'm getting ready to unmute everybody. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Vicky, you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was waiting for you to interject, and then
I had to come back in as Kingdom and You.
Oh, okay.
I was fumbling with trying to get that, but now praise God, I got it to work, and
I know that's right. Amen. But what did you think about the word tonight, though?
Oh, it was awesome. And one of the things that, you know, that I like that you pointed out is we have to be. It's important for us to stay connected as sons. Sometimes we get so caught on, you know, the titles and the gifts that we forget that we're sons first. And you know, with that is relationship. You know, our relationship has to stay intact. You know, we don't want to become prodigals.
Mhm.
So it was powerful. I pray. I know I was blessed. I pray everybody was blessed with that. And you know, it ignited more of a passion to stay, you know, stir up your relationship.
Amen. Yeah, that relationship thing is very important. You'd be surprised how many people are in these offices working gifts with no relationship. Oh my God! See, gifts are not proof of relationship, too.
No, it's not.
See, and that's where people get it twisted. You know, gifts are not proof of relationship. You know, and that's how so many people fall. You know, but I really want to encourage the body, you know, to pursue relationship. You know, I even had to examine myself recently, you know, and I had to tighten up some stuff, too. You know, God had to get me in order on some stuff, too. You know, sometimes we can get so caught up in the work, you know, and we can get so caught up in, you know, walking in the authority of a certain office, you know, that we neglect the foundation, the first. You know, we can't do that, you know, because then we'll end up slipping and falling short. That's why it's important to stay in that love relationship with God, so that He'll always keep you on the up and up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So go ahead.
We don't want our sacrifice or our worship to be like Cain and Abel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we want to stand clear of that.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Oh yes. Yes, indeed. Amen. Who else is on the line tonight? Amen. Don't
good
anybody
even,
speak up.
Good evening, Apostle.
How you doing?
Fine, man of God. I really enjoy it. I truly understand. I learned from my former pastor, your anointing has nothing to do with your character. But a lot of times we have to understand that a lot of us need deliverance.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's the first thing we need. Deliverance starts within you. You know, so a lot of us need deliverance. A lot of us need healing. A lot of us need forgiveness. Set the foundation.
Uh-huh. Amen. That's so true. Amen. You still speaking, woman of God? Are you going in and out? Yeah.
It sounded
like you was going in and out.
Oh, yeah. Also, I had a good friend of mine, Sister Sharon, had a, you know, call in, and she's on the other line and listening. I just wanted her to listen to the teaching. I just want to introduce you to her. Sister Sharon, you there?
Yeah.
This is Apostle I was telling you about.
Good evening, man of God.
God bless you, Sister Sharon. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. You know, when I first heard your voice, I heard the Lord say this. He said, "Tell her it's gonna get better." He said, "Tell her it's gonna get better."
Me?
Yes, you.
Mm-hmm.
He told me to tell you it's gonna get better. I don't know what that means to you, but I heard the Lord say that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord.
It's going to get better. I really sense that you have been through some things even recently and even over the last few, the last several months, years, actually. You know, this is something that's been carrying on for a certain number of years. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, it seems like everything is intensified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, you know, Lord, I'm trying to trust you. I'm trying to, you know, hang on, and you know, I'm praying. You know, I'm giving. You know, I'm doing everything that I know to do,
mm-hmm.
and there's no result. You know, and it's almost like sometimes like you have to fight that spirit of discouragement too. You know,
yeah.
because this discouragement tries to sit in a lot of times, and the reason why is because, you know, it's almost like the enemy really wants you to feel like God failed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he really wants you to have a problem with God. You know,
mm.
But I'm also, do you sleep well at night?
Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was seeing something with your sleeping at night, too. All of that just don't come from worryation and stressing. Let me ask you a question. Have you got into a conflict with somebody recently or a disagreement or something?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you have a run-in with, like, a leader or something?
It's been a moment.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but you had a run-in with a leader?
It's been a moment. I can't really recall it, but I have.
You have, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And after you encountered this particular leader, how did stuff start going for you then?
The only one that I remember that I had, I was being held back, and
mm-hmm.
didn't want anything to go forward in the ministry or anything.
Yeah, but I'm also seeing where, you know, because a lot of leaders try to use their authority to curse people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing where you had a run-in with a leader. I don't know who this leader is. But after you had a run-in with this leader, I literally seen like something that this leader may have spoke of done to try to put some on you to lock some stuff up.
Ah, okay, I hear you now.
Yeah,
I hear you now.
You see what I'm saying? But my God,
I
feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
I thank God.
But by the power of the blood of Jesus, it breaks tonight.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, whoa.
It breaks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And all your finances that's been held up,
mm-hmm.
and all kind of torment at night, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And Lord have mercy. Ooh, Jesus. Ooh, Lord, I don't know if I want to say that over there, but you know what I'm talking about. Because I'm... Wow. I'm going to put it like this. Deliverance is coming to your house.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to put it like this. The stuff that's been sent around you and sent to you and all this other stuff, it
mm-hmm.
ain't going to come no more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm seeing some visitations that you've been experiencing, and I'm not talking about godly ones.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it breaks tonight by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Never again. Matter of fact, I release the angels, the holy angels of God, to do a clean sweep through your dwelling place in
mm-hmm.
Jesus' name. And I speak the peace of God over your mind. I speak restoration and healing to your body, because I'm even seeing different parts of your body that has been afflicted, but I speak healing to that in Jesus' name. And I command
mm-hmm.
the yoke of the enemy that has been placed upon you to be broken right now
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' name. I command your ears to be unstopped in the spirit, that you may hear clearly the directives of God in Jesus'
mm-hmm.
name. And I command that veil of oppression and heaviness and all of that stuff to lift up off of you in Jesus'
mm-hmm.
name. And I speak liberty to your spirit. I speak
mm-hmm.
deliverance to your soul. And I speak strength to your body right now
mm-hmm.
in Jesus' name. Oh, shandidi
mm-hmm.
bokusai.
Glory.
In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. You should feel a whole lot better right now. You should you should stop feeling that stuff break off of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Thank you.
God is restoring you in this season. God is restoring you in this season. But also, I want to encourage you too. Like the scripture says, don't be too anxious right now. You see what I'm saying? Don't be too anxious. Don't be in a rush. Because what God is getting ready to do is he's getting ready to take you through a process. It's not going to be as long as you think it is. But what it is also is he's going to do a little bit of pruning and a little bit of perfecting. Because, see, what he's called you to do is so great that it has to be nurtured the right way. You see what I'm saying? It has to be nurtured the right way. See, people try to, you know, pimp your gift and, you know, to take advantage of your resources and stuff like that. And then once you don't do what they want you to do, you know, they try to speak a curse on your resources. And then the next thing you know, everything starts drying up. When a few months before that, you was walking in abundance. So you don't be anxious. Just continue just to walk with God. Walk with God. Don't get ahead of them. Don't lag behind them. Walk with them.
My God.
Amen. And that's the word of the Lord for you.
My God, that was a lot. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Father. Can I say something? May I say
Go ahead.
I had forgotten about the incident that had happened. And I always wonder about the situation. It comes across my mind across my mind a lot, especially when I'm rested. And I completely had forgotten. But then when the Lord began to speak through you, it began to bring my mind back to remembrance. And then I began to relate to what God was speaking. And then it all makes sense. It all makes sense. So I received that word. I received that word from God because only God could reveal that. Only God. And I've been praying about that situation. I've just been praying about it early in the morning. So I go down on my knees before God, and I've just been talking to him about many things. And only God could reveal that. So I thank God for that word. I appreciate you for allowing God to use you. I thank God for allowing you to deposit that word into my life. And I'm telling you, I feel 1,000 times better because I was trying to understand it in my own strength. But I thank God. I really thank God for you. And I thank Sister Rosalind for, she just called me. I was cooking in the kitchen, and she said, "You need to come on. You need to come on. You need to hear this man of God." So I definitely thank God for you. I thank God for you, and I appreciate God for every word.
Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. Amen. For what he's getting ready to do in your life. Just remain steadfast. And
I
just
will.
Continue just to trust God. Because he's redirecting your steps right now.
Thank you, Father.
He's redirecting your steps. Yeah, so those curses are broken, even off your finances and everything like that. So you don't have to worry about that any longer. Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
And this is Prophetess Rosalind, right? Is that Rosalind? Prophetess Rosalind Jennings?
I think her phone going out.
Oh, okay. Yeah. When she comes back on,
yes,
just,
Apostle. I have put my phone up. Yes, it's me. How are you?
Okay. Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to let you know that I got your message.
Okay.
Message on in the dashboard. Yeah. So just inbox me because I got a new number. Matter of fact, so just inbox me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, just inbox me and I'll further from there. Amen.
Praise God. I just thank God for how God used you tonight. It's an on time word, and I just thank God. Sister Sharon, you know, it's supposed to be at the right place at the right time.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else on the line that needed prayer or anything? Amen. Amen. I'm gonna tell you like this. Say when folks get ready to be married, speak now, forever hold your peace.
And may I say something, please?
Yes.
I want you to pray for my oldest daughter. She's looking for another job. She has one job, but she's looking for a better paying job. And pray that God will save her.
Okay. Who am I speaking with?
This is the young lady you just got through ministry to.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. So you're the one calling from Michigan?
No, she's not. This is Pastor Richie calling from Michigan.
Oh, okay. I got all this stuff going in one time. Okay, for sure. I will pray for your daughter. And this is Sister Sharon, right?
Yes.
Okay. Father, in Jesus' name, what's your daughter's name, first of all?
Erica.
Erica?
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for Erica, God. I thank you. First of all, reclaiming her salvation in this season, God, in Jesus' name, Father, for the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you that you're going to heal every hurt. Father, I thank you that you're going to remove the memories of yesterday's disappointments, God.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're going to bring her into a life in you, Father, that she's never experienced before. And, Father, I release the power of the Holy Ghost to arrest her right where she's at, in Jesus' name. And, Father, I speak conviction to her spirit, God, in Jesus' name, Father. Because, Lord, she's in a place where she's rejecting love right now, God. But even in that, Father, even when we're in a place where we reject love, Lord, sometimes we tend to reject your love. We reject all forms of love. But, Father, I command that wall of rejection to be shattered in Jesus' name. And, Father, let your love invade her heart, Father. I thank you that the love of God melts the coldest hearts in Jesus' name. Father, remove everybody from her life, God, that does not mean her no good and you no good. Glory to God. I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you're going to start stripping people from around her in Jesus' name. Father, send people to her in the streets, Father. Send people to her everywhere that she goes in Jesus' name. Send people to her, God. Father, that will prophesy to her and minister to her the word of the Lord and the love of Christ. In Jesus' name. And I commission a holy war and angels, God, to go and to snatch her up right now in Jesus' name, out of where she's at, Father. Father, Father, I thank you that you're going to cause her to become repentant and cause her to be translated into the kingdom of God. I shatter the deception of that's operating in the mind right now in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm.
And, Father, remove all church hurt, God. Remove all hurt from past relationships and past people that she's ever encountered.
Yes, Lord.
And remove the images of what she's seen concerning false leaders and ministries. In Jesus' name, I decree it so right now. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God.
Amen. Yeah, Vicky, I don't think Pastor Bridget is in the chat room. Yes, I saw your message. I don't think she's in the chat room. She's on the line.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's on the line.
Guest 13 has been asking a question about how will you know which office you are supposed to operate in within the fivefold ministry.
How will you know which office? That's something that has to be revealed to you by God. A lot of times, you can tell just by how God deals with you. Because, for example, if you have this big, huge, great burden for souls all the time, and if that overpowers the rest of everything, then most likely you're called to the office of the evangelist. Now, a lot of times people get the office of the evangelist and the office of the pastor mixed up. You got a lot of pastors that's trying to start churches. Well, really, God ain't called a pastor to be over a church. That's always an apostolic or prophetic function. But anyway, I'm not going to go there tonight. But there's a lot of pastors who try to start ministries, and really they're evangelists. But both of them have a strong burden and a compassion for people, you know. But evangelists will have a burden for souls to be saved and to be brought into the kingdom. As versus to pastors are more like nurturers. They're the ones that's real compassion, want to nurse your wounds, tell you it's going to be all right, you know, and stuff like that, you know.
Lord.
You know, and that's needed. That's very much needed. Because the evangelists bring them in, and every church should, and this is biblical, should have a staff of pastors to help nurture the people that come in, you know, and stuff like that. So, and that brings a lot of, that takes a lot of pressure off of the senior leader. Now, if you're a prophet like me, for example, when I first came in, you know, God started dealing with me about stuff that was out of order. You know, I start seeing that more. You know, I'm like, Lord, my heart is like, Lord, how is it that are we gonna reach the world when we're not together? You see, now my thing was about the fivefold ministry and the stuff being out of order, and you know, the Lord dealt with me about judgment a lot. So the Lord first established me in the office of the prophet, you know, and then not even, I don't even think it was a good two months afterwards the Lord started showing me about apostleship. So he always dealt with me about order and structure and stuff like that. So you know, and there's a lot of pastors who are also teachers too. Teachers cannot stand when God's word is being taught out of context. They want the word of God to be taught right, and they want people to be educated in the things of God. You know, I could tell you, a lot of people now, you know, who are operating as teachers. You know, a lot of people teach prophetically too, because all believers are supposed to have the prophetic operating in their life. You know, including evangelists. When you go out in the streets telling folks about Jesus, ain't gonna do it. It ain't gonna do it. You have to demonstrate Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. But I'm gonna have to do a talk show on evangelism, effective evangelism. But you know, it all depends on how God deals with you. You know, so. If you really want to know your office and what God has called you to, you know, it's like really, you know, you can tell by how God deals with you and what you have a burden for. But also, I would encourage you to really pray and seek the Lord as to what office that you're called to, and let him reveal that to you. Amen. And once he reveals it to you, you know, a lot of times God will confirm that. You know, especially something like that, God confirms. You know, the Lord confirms that. So, if the Lord reveals to you your office, then you study on that. By all means, study on it. Get a good foundation. Get some good foundational teaching on your office. So that way you'll be effective in it, and you won't be an evangelist trying to pastor. God ain't called you to that. Amen. All right. All right. Cool. All right. So what else? What else we got going on? You praying, and God was speaking to me, saying, "Father's a prophet of God." Amen. I'm reading Guest 14's comment right now. Well, Guest 14, if that's what God called you to, He called you to.
Guest 14 just logged out too.
So okay, Guest.
I guess they were just sharing their testimony in the chat.
Okay. And also too, I'm gonna tell you, there's some people that I'm noticing they want to teach, but they're called to be a prophet. They are teaching prophets. Amen. There are different types of prophets and apostles, you know. Really most of the time, you know, really only you notice. Even throughout Scripture, apostles and prophets are the only ones that really have the ability to walk in more than one office. The ministry of the pastor is set. The ministry of the teacher is set, okay? And the ministry of the evangelist is set. That's already set. But you see a versatility when it comes to the office of the apostle and the prophet. I don't got time to get too deep into it. I taught on this in the past. Matter of fact, you can go back to the archives and listen to that teaching that I did on the realignment of apostolic ministry, and I taught on the different types of apostles and prophets, and I even had to correct some things that I taught in my first teaching on the office of the apostle. Amen. Because as the Lord revealed some more things to me, He showed me the different types of apostles and prophets. Amen. So I had to correct some of the things that I did, but even my teaching on the office of the apostle, you know, was a real good teaching as well. But also, whoever that is that got background noise, I'm going to ask that you kind of like mute your phone because it's interfering. Amen. But they're also teaching prophets, all right? There are prophets who walk in a prophetic office, but they also have a strong grace to teach. Amen. They have a strong grace to teach. You have there are different types of apostles and prophets. Everybody believe apostles are supposed to walk in all five. They can, but they don't have to. Amen. They can, but they don't have to. Amen. And see that's a problem now. Whoever that is that got that background noise, I don't have to mute y'all. So please. That's all right. I'm gonna find you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. All right. People believe that an apostle has to walk in all five. No, they don't. You know, name me one apostle in Scripture that walked in all five other than Jesus. The only one that came closest to it, and I do say closest to it, was Apostle Paul. Okay. All them apostles didn't pastor in Scripture. Amen. Glory to God. Everybody say that you know you can't be an apostle unless you have a church. Unless you have a local church. Show me that in Scripture. Show me a pattern in that with every last apostle that was in Scripture. Amen. So that's why we must redefine the role of an apostle. Because you can't teach it from a church perspective. You got to teach it from a kingdom perspective, and that's where people get mixed up. You know, I appreciate all the ones now that have taught on the apostolic, you know, really given a good foundation on it, but that's even through my studies and what the Lord has revealed to me and shown me, you know, and spoken to me was that according to what He's shown me, you know, a lot of those who have even taught on it have not taught it all the way accurately. Amen. So So not all apostles going to plant churches and have churches all around the world and 2, 3, 4, 5 churches. Some apostles ain't going to have no church. Amen. But they got all the fruits of the apostolic ministry, and they're doing the works of the kingdom. So,
is it okay if I ask a question?
What
do
you say?
Is it okay if I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. One of my concerns is that when we are talking about the fivefold ministries, or what we call fivefold ministries, that's recorded in the book of Ephesians, the 4th chapter, most people confine what their callings or the gift ministry, let me call it that.
Yeah.
In that venue, but there is very little, I guess, recognition to the other areas, the gift of helps, the gift of
yes.
In those areas, I think that from what I can see in the body of Christ, everybody wants to exist within that fivefold ministry, and very few people want to have that gift that the body of Christ, the kingdom needs, in that it's the gift of helps. Do you have anything that you can say concerning that? I know it's a little bit off the subject, but
But you know they're equally as valuable,
exactly.
And important. And if each one is not in place, you know, then you know it's going to throw everything else off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, we talk about the fivefold ministry, but we don't even talk about the deacons.
Exactly.
That's helps ministry. That's helps
exactly.
Ministry right there. Helps ministry is deacons. You know, in the early church, deacons took a lot of pressure off of them apostles.
Exactly.
You know, in Acts 6, Apostle Paul, not the Apostle Paul, Lord have mercy, the 12 was like, we're not going to stop what we're doing to wait tables, but you pick 7 people full of the Holy Ghost, they had to be full of the Holy Ghost too. And they had to be full of wisdom, and they had to be full of faith. So them deacons had to operate in power too. You understand what I'm saying? So
exactly.
So it's like you know, we put less value on these other ministry gifts, and it's really up to you know us who are teaching the word and stuff like that to put value back on it like it's supposed to be, you know, because nowadays, everybody wants to feel important, so if everybody thinks that the fivefold ministry gift, that's how you're going to be important, then they're going to pursue that.
Exactly.
And you got a whole bunch of folks who have the gift of prophecy, strong gift of prophecy, they operate in word of knowledge, word of wisdom real good, but they're not called to the office of a prophet. But because they have strong revelation gifts and the Lord speaks to them clearly, they think that they're called to the office. And that's because, you know, but once again, our identity should be in our sonship and not in our ministerial office. When you're a son, you're like David. You don't mind being the doorkeeper. David was the king, and he said, I don't care if I was a doorkeeper. As long as I got a place in the house of the Lord. You know, so I'm glad you brought up that question. Because everybody won't be an apostle. Everybody won't be a prophet. Everybody won't be a pastor. You know, everybody won't be an evangelist, a teacher. Everybody won't be that. You know, so helps is needed. Governments is needed. All of these things are needed to make the church mobile.
You know, one of the things that you never hardly hear about is the gift of celibacy. It's just some gift that's in there that readily you don't hear people saying, you know, even some individuals that perhaps, you know, maybe instructed a person in terms of what the individual's gift calling from God is. I rarely have heard people talk about those gifts, which, as you just stated, are equally as important.
Yes, wow. Gift of celibacy, my Jesus. I never really known that to be an actual gift, but I know the Apostle Paul he wasn't married, period. You know, and Peter was married, you know, but that's something good to really look up and study, you know, because you know that there are some that, you know, will be set apart just for the work, like Apostle Paul was, you know, and God bless the ones who do it. Amen. Amen. Great grace is upon you. Amen. Amen. I know I ain't called to that because I want a wife. Amen. I want a companion. Amen. Glory to God. But yeah, that's good. That's good.
You know,
and that's something that needs to be talked about. Go ahead.
One of the things, Apostle, that I wanted to say regarding the other gifts, I think for the most part, we need to really teach people about relationships, you know, because we can't get away. See, it's in the relationship. It's in the intimacy that God will reveal to you who you are, whether you're a deacon, you know, you're part of the fivefold ministry. When he reveals to you who you really are and who he called you to be, you're going to be happy being, you know, whoever. And, I mean, even if he said, I want you to keep the door, or I want you to, you know, intercede or whatever, you're going to be fulfilled and complete in that. And I think that sometimes we overemphasize looking into who, you know, am I fivefold ministry? When am I? What am I? We overemphasize that, and we underemphasize intimacy and getting before God and spending that time and loving on him. Because at the end of the day, just like Jesus said, when many are going to come to him saying, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I do all these things? And he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you, meaning I was never intimate with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to really go back to the basics of intimacy, relationship, sonship. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
then you know, your callings and all of the things that, you know, he has pronounced over our lives will be revealed to us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That, my goodness, that is so true. And see, we teach people gifts and offices before teaching them sonship and how to love God, you know. And when you love God, I mean, whatever he wants you to do, you'll do it. And you won't feel shame doing it. You know, nowadays, make them folks feel shame to be a deacon. You know, make those folks feel shame to be be involved in helps ministry and being a secretary and all this other stuff. But this stuff is needed. You know, everybody want to be top dog. You know, I don't, you know, and that goes to show there's a lack of character. You know, the stuff that's being emphasized more should be emphasized less. Even though there are more, even though all of it is important, but you can't have one without the other. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Anybody else on the line that needed prayer before we close out?
Pastor, I'm Claire, and I'd like prayer, please.
Okay, Claire, where are you calling from? Amen. Who is it that just spoke?
I'm Claire from Georgia.
Claire from Georgia. God bless you. How you doing? Anything specific you need to pray for?
I can't boil it down to one thing.
Okay. All right. I understand. All right. It's all good. Father, I pray for Claire in Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask, Father, that, Lord, you know the need. Father, you know everything about Claire. You know her situation, God. Lord, I just ask that you would give her a peace of mind in Jesus' name, Lord. And, Lord, I bind the spirit of fear and intimidation, Father, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, cause her, Father, to stand upon your promises, Father. Father, I put you in remembrance of the promises that you've made her, Father, and spoken over her life, Father. And, Lord, I just ask, Father, that you would begin to cause her, Father, to stand upon your promises, Father, and stand flat-footed, firm on what you have spoken concerning her life in Jesus' name. Father, I call you into remembrance of every word that's been spoken over her life in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I speak peace to her mind, speak to her peace to her house, peace to her family, God, in Jesus' name, Father. And I call forth an increase in abundance in Jesus' name, Father, that which the enemy has caused to be overturned, Father, and stripped from her, Father. Father, I command that he restored 100-fold in Jesus' name. I call forth for it to be restored 100-fold in Jesus' name, Lord. And, Lord, everything that she's petitioned before you, Lord, I just ask that you would begin to grant those things unto her in Jesus' name. Amen. I really felt like the spirit of fear and intimidation tries to come on you sometimes, you know, and even when you worry and stuff like that, worry produces, matter of fact, worrying is a product of fear. You know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us power, love, and a sound mind. He's given you power to decree and declare a thing and to overcome. You know, he's given you love. He loves you so much. You know, and just like when I taught earlier, when you're motivated by love, you know you're able to walk in something that you have not previously walked in before. So, you know, just begin to embrace God's love for you, and just begin to love God, and you know, love God back, and you know, just love on His people, regardless of what folks have said and done to you. You still gotta love them anyway. He's given you a sound mind. Anything that robs you of your peace, that's not God. Anything that robs you of your peace is not God. Anything that causes you to worry and robs you of your peace. You know, always thinking about it and always being concerned about what's going to happen and things like that, that's not God. That robs you of your peace. You know, that's not in the new covenant, and that's not in your birthright. So, you know, just continue to trust God. Pray, leave it in His hands, you know. When we worry and stress about it, we take it out of His hands and put it back in our hands. You know, so you know, when you bring it before the Lord, leave it in His hands and trust Him that He will provide and that He will do everything that you're petitioning Him to do. You know, and those folks you're praying for too, same thing. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen. Anybody else? See, we got some folks from Virginia on the line. Who that is? I'm just curious to know who that is from Virginia that's on the line. We got two callers from Virginia. Who that is?
Shamika Howard. How you doing?
Fine. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, possibly.
Amen. I'm glad you was able to come on. Who the other one? Who the other caller from Virginia?
That's Antoine and Deborah.
Oh, okay. Thought it was y'all. Just wanted to make sure. Amen. God bless y'all.
Hey, Apostle, their guest 18 is saying that they would like prayer. Her name is Shell.
Okay.
And she would like you to pray about direction.
Okay. Amen. Father, I pray for Shell in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I just ask, Father, that your Holy Spirit, direct her in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would begin to show her. Wow. I feel like there's some things that God has already been trying to tell you, but you've been overlooking it. Be attentive throughout the day, because the Lord speaks through dreams. Do not ignore your dreams either. The Lord speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. But he also, a lot of time when you're asking a question, you know, he would demonstrate your answer in a way that you may not be accustomed to. You know, we miss God daily because of that. You know, the Lord speaks in many different ways. You know, you can be asking a question about whether you are to go here or do something, and the Lord may, you may be riding down the highway, and you end up pulling up behind a license plate to say go. You see what I'm saying? The Lord does stuff like that. God says just pay attention to your surroundings, but pay attention to those things, you know, and it won't be as hard. You know, a lot of times if we don't get a direct vision, dream, or prophetic word from the Lord, you know, through somebody else, you know, a lot of times we tend to be stagnant, like we don't know what God is saying. You know, but a lot of times God been and gave us the direction, but, you know, because, you know, we've been taught to look for God just in a certain manner that we miss all the other ways in which he speaks. So the Lord told me to release that to you. And, Lord, I just thank you for Shell. Give us strength and discernment to discern, Father, when you're speaking to her in whichever way that you decide to speak to her. And I also hear the Lord say, don't ignore your dreams either. Don't ignore your dreams. And, Lord, I just ask that you would increase her in every area of her life in Jesus' name. Give her direction, Lord. Give her direction and give her understanding, God, because I'm seeing her some things that she needs understanding on. But, Lord, I just ask that you would begin to give her understanding by the Spirit of God, because you are the Spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guest 19, I see you. God bless you. Did that hit home? Guest 18, I pray it did. I know it was the Lord. Amen. But guest 19, is you would like prayer for strength and healing. What exactly do you need healing from? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Healing for my heart. What's going on with your heart? Is it a physical thing or an emotional thing? If it's a physical thing, state the nature of your condition. An emotional thing. Okay. All right. Amen. Father, I pray for guest 19. What's your name, guest 19, if you don't mind me asking? Okay. All right. I think I know who you are. Father, I pray for Karen in Jesus' name. Father, remove all past disappointments. Father, remove all bitterness. Remove all hurt in Jesus' name. Wow. Karen, have you really forgiven some folks? I don't know why the Lord just cut me off from my prayer. So I felt a sense of area of forgiveness. A lot of times we carry stuff that we don't even know that we have sometimes, or even realize until, you know, the Lord brings it back to us. Amen. 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 I'm still waiting on Karen to answer. Amen. But I'm going to continue to pray. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, Karen, you really need to forgive here. Forgiveness. A lot of times when you can tell when somebody's struggling with unforgiveness because they feel like folks should be punished for what they did. You know, but if you truly, you know, forgive, I'm telling you, you're going to feel such a weight lifted off your heart. I know you're not on the line right now, but you need to verbally acknowledge those people that you have something against in your heart, and you need to verbally acknowledge that you forgive them. You need to tell the Lord that you released them to him and that they don't have to pay for what they did to you. Amen. And once you do that, you're really going to begin to feel some things happen in your heart. See, our job is to forgive. It's God's job to deal with the wound. People don't realize that. It's God's job to deal with the wound and the hurt. But our job is to forgive. Amen. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, even as she forgives those who have done her wrong and who have hurt her in any kind of way, eridi boko shandi, glory to God. Ola makaro bo shandi di boko shata. I thank you for, hey, shata taboho. I thank you that it's going to cause a deliverance, God. Father, and I thank you that it's even taking place even now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that as she release those people to you, Father, that it's going to cause a deliverance, Father, and even that which has been held up, God, and that which was supposed to be released to her and that wasn't, God, that it will be released within the coming week in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. Okay, let me see. I don't want to do the work of God. That's my heart's desire. But things are going in my life that makes me feel like I can't take one step forward, two steps back. Okay, guest 15, I just read your comment. Amen. Father, I pray for guest 15 in Jesus' name. Father, I break the cycle. I break every demonic cycle, Father. I break every generational curse in Jesus' name that's upon their life. And Father, I release them into the fullness of the kingdom of God and the things of the kingdom of God and into that desired work that, Father, that you've called them to in Jesus' name. And Lord, I break all lack, Father. I break everything over their lives, Father, that will cause a hindrance in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm decreeing and declaring over their life that the struggle is over, that every cycle, Father, and every curse, Father, is broken by the power of the blood of Jesus and the authority of Jesus Christ in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Father, within the coming months, Father, they will begin to see a grand shift. They will begin to see a grand shift in their life. So, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name that it is so. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand on that word. Amen. So I desire to be married. Would you pray for me? I really want. Really don't want to miss God. What's your name, guest 21? Nay, you male or female? You a female? Female, thought so. Okay, I'm gonna tell you this because when I first saw the word married, I thought about literally when Adam and Eve was in the garden. Before Eve was even formed from Adam, Adam was already working his assignment in the kingdom. God told him to dress the garden and to keep it. That was his divine mandate and commissioning at that time. That was his assignment. And it was all done in the presence of God because the word Eden means portal. The word Eden means portal. So literally, Adam lived under an open heaven in the presence of God working his assignment. And then Eve was released to Adam. Amen. God bless you. You're welcome, guest 15. Eve was released to Adam, you know, in the midst of him working his assignment. And then when Eve was presented to Adam, it was Adam who said, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." You see, I really feel like you need to wait in this season. I see that you need to wait. Now I'm going to tell you something. The wait is not going to be as long as you think. It's not going to be as long as you think. You know, it's not going to be a long wait, but it's going to be a wait. Because you don't want to marry no bozo in the spirit. Amen. You don't want to marry nobody who don't got no power, can't cast out no devil, or who is not what you were, or who is not what they appear to be either. Amen. Sometimes you marry folks that have the appearance of being into the things of God, then you marry them, kind of find out you married Godzilla. So I encourage you, you know, and that's the word of the Lord for you, to wait. To wait. He will find you. He will find you. You stay positioned in the presence of God, because everything took place in the presence of God. So Eve was in the presence of the Lord too, you know, and she was under that open portal. So you increase your relationship and your love walk with the Lord. Just love on them, worship them, love on them, talk to them, develop a close relationship to them. You know, and in your closeness with God, you know, he's going to show you what to accept and what not to accept in a man. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for Nay. I thank you that she's going to be obedient, that she's going to wait on the divine prompting and instruction from the Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, and I just thank you for everything that you would cause her to do, Lord. And I just thank you that when she meets her husband, God, that they're going to be a powerful team for the kingdom of God. And I thank you, Father, give her patience. Keep her, God. Keep her, God, because she's been waiting for a little while now, I'm seeing. But, Lord, you just wanted to hold on just a little bit longer because you're preparing him even as we speak. So, Lord, I just thank you for doing it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you hang on to that word. That was definitely a word from the Lord. Amen. All right, y'all. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody else? Amen. We just got a call in from Louisiana. Who is that? If you don't mind me asking.
It's Minister Will. How you doing, man? Go ahead.
What's going on, man?
Yeah, you got it, man. How you doing? I just left Bible study, man. So I just tapped in. How y'all doing?
Oh man, doing wonderful, man. God is good, man. You was on here a couple of days ago, huh?
Right, right. Right.
Oh, okay.
That was when the last time you was on there? Yesterday, huh?
Yeah, yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I see Louisiana number pop up. I know a couple folks down there, but I was just wondering who it was. But
right.
Amen. Yeah, man, good to have you on, man. Good to have you on.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. God bless you, guest 21. You're welcome. You're welcome. Amen. All right, y'all. Anybody else got a prayer request? Anybody? Amen. Speak now, forever hold your peace. Amen. All right. Amen. Who's that from Central Colorado? I'm just curious to know who that is. Amen. You're the only one calling from a Colorado number. Amen. God bless you. God bless you anyway. Amen. All right, y'all. We get ready to wrap it up. It's me, but my phone mic is messed up. Okay.
Apostle?
Yes. Yes.
This is Deborah. I was wondering if we could have prayer for my husband's mom and his brother and her brother. She's kind of going through some things.
Okay.
And
you're right.
Brother, she's kind of going through some things, and I went ahead and we ministered to her today, but we're actually standing in prayer with her.
Whose mother is this again?
Antoine's mom.
Okay. Wow. And you know that the Lord is showing me, wow, that goes deeper, which I really can't get into over the air, but that goes real deep. Wow. Wow, so when you mentioned it, I'm really, you know, pondering that thing in my spirit. I really feel the weight of it. But Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for Antoine's mother, Father, and his brother too, right?
Yes.
Okay, and his brother too, Father. Father, I just thank you, Lord, and I break everything, Father, that's not like you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Father, I speak restoration, God, to that whole family, Father, to that situation in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I just ask that you would begin to cause things to be realigned, Lord. Father, cause everything, Father, to be realigned, Father, and cause even what was meant for evil, Father, and what was meant for bad, Father, and what was meant to be a curse, Father, and a reproach, God. Father, even cause that to be turned around, Father, and brought into a place of proper alignment for your glory, God. In Jesus' name, Father, I just speak, Father, the restoration of the kingdom of God in this whole situation right now in Jesus' name. And I say no weapon that's formed will be able to prosper. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Not a problem. Not a problem at all. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Guest 19. You're the caller from Colorado. Amen. It's all good. Amen. I was just curious to know who it was. Do I know you? There's only a few folks left on here. Amen. Do I know you? Okay, yes. What's your name? Oh, I think I know who you are. What's your name? I think I know who you are, though. Oh, Guest 19, Karen. Okay, cool. I think I know somebody else in that Colorado area. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you, Pastor Jackie. You've been hanging in that chat room. Amen. You've been hanging on in that chat room, I tell you. Amen. I know we got a caller from Central Texas just logged in. Amen. Just came on in. Around the time we would get ready to close out. Amen. But if you want to listen to the word or the teaching, you can go back into the archives and listen. Do I know that caller from Central Texas?
No, my brother, but I'm friends with Pastor Apostle Lamont Hill, this Brother Upshaw.
Oh, okay. God bless you. God bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful, man. Doing wonderful, man. Wonderful.
Good. I just desire your prayer that the Lord would really show up and show out, and just, I want to be used by him and just kind of open the doors, you know. Seem like things have kind of been like at a standstill when I've been out of work since January because I had a major surgery, but God has been making ways and blessings. But I want the Lord just to really just do something awesome for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I hope the Lord will take me and my family to the next level and to really bless my wife, my daughter, also me, as me being the man of the household.
Mm-hmm.
I know God is real, and God has been awesome. He's good to me. He's good to me and my family. He never left us. But you know, sometimes when you don't have job to support, seem like things really get kind of rough.
Mm-hmm.
I just decided to pray for me.
That
the Lord will really do something awesome, you know, and I know
Amen.
He can, and I know he always has. Yes, Apostle Hill is my brother.
Amen. Amen. Apostle Hill is my apostolic father. Amen. Matter of fact, I'll call him when I get off of here. But no problem at all. Father, I thank you for this man of God. I thank you for his heart. God, I thank you for his heart, Father, because I really discern his heart, God, and I thank you for his heart, God, and I just ask, Father, that you would begin to really move and manifest in his life, Father. I bind up the hand of the enemy, Father. Everything that has been held up, Father, I even command and call forth a release right now in Jesus' name, Father. And, Father, within this coming month, Father, I command that it begins to unfold and to manifest for the rest of this month in Jesus' name, Father. Father, I speak divine favor over this man of God's life, Father, that every door that was shut in his face that was supposed to be open to him, Father, I commanded those doors be open in Jesus' name, Father. Father, I speak favor over his family, God, in Jesus' name. Increase in revenue and finances, Father. Father, not just from one way, Father, but from many ways.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you that you're even going to send people, Lord, to even give into their bosom and sow into their life, Lord, in Jesus' name, Father. I thank you for a favorable employment, Father, not just any kind of job, but the one that he would enjoy, Father, and that would fit around the schedule in which you would have for him to have.
Yes, Lord.
And Father, I speak divine healing to his body, Father. I command his whole entire body, even now, to come into alignment with the things of God right now and the kingdom of God, Father. Let your kingdom come into his life, his finances, his family life, his relationships, in Jesus' name, Father. And let your will be made manifest and done. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, preacher.
God bless you, too. Amen.
You be blessed.
All right, you too.
All right.
Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Anything else to claim my attention, y'all? Amen. Providence Vicki, anything else to claim my attention?
No. That's it.
Amen. Well, we getting ready to wrap it up then. I know, what was the last time we was on here? Was it yesterday, day before yesterday?
Day before yesterday.
Day before yesterday? Okay, I thought it was. I can't tell. I got so much going on. But, yeah, day before yesterday, we was on here for 5 hours. Amen. We had a kingdom panel discussion, y'all, and that was an awesome discussion. That was a very powerful move of God that took place. Even at the end, a lot of people came on and got prayed for and received prophetic ministry as well. Amen. My brother Apostle Ferguson came on and the Lord really used him very powerfully. But amen. Let's just remember to love one another, y'all. I would encourage you all to go back to the archives and listen to this teaching. Once it's uploaded, I'll probably post it on Facebook. But this is a very important teaching. Very important. Very important, especially if you desire to walk into ministry. These things must be considered, and you must be walking in these things. Amen. So let's just, you know, do this thing right. Amen. Because don't you know that when we do it right, God will honor it. Amen. So, you know, and these things that I've taught to you tonight are manifesting and unfolding in my own life as well. Amen. So, you know, it's something that that not too many people are walking in yet, but in the days to come, the Lord is really going to start putting more emphasis on us walking in this state of sonship. Amen. And sonship ain't what we think it is. Amen. It's more to it than that, but it's really easy when you're doing it by grace and not by works. Amen. Glory to God. All right, y'all. So, nothing else to claim my attention. I'm going to wrap it up. Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for everything that you have said, done, taught today. I thank you, Lord, for every word that went forth, Father, every healing, every deliverance that went forth, God, through the airways, God. And I just thank you for just manifesting your power and your glory in the lives of your people, that we may be permanently changed, now, Father, not temporarily fixed, but permanently changed. And, Lord, I thank you just for who you are, Lord, and just thank you for the opportunity and the privilege and the honor of becoming sons and daughters of your kingdom, God. To where we can demonstrate you in the earth, Father, and just show your love and your grace and your mercy in the earth, Father, even as you are merciful and have been merciful to us. So, Father, we love you. We adore you, God. I just love you, God. I just adore you, God. And I just thank you, Lord, for just everything that you're manifesting and doing. But above all, I just thank you just for who you are, just for being our Father, our everything, our whole world, God. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, y'all. I had a moment, y'all. I had a moment. I almost got caught up at it. Cut it off. Amen. Amen. I almost had a moment there. But y'all be blessed, y'all. I love y'all. I love y'all so much, and I thank God for y'all. Let's just keep this thing kingdom. Let's keep this thing holy, and let's keep it all the way 100%. Amen. Until next time. Love you. The Lord love you. Good night.